Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. In this, I'm commenting on the work from home controversy. So in the United Kingdom, many civil servants are threatening to go on strike over the government demanding that they should have to go into the office at least 3 days a week. So coronavirus lockdown 2020, a lot of people grew accustomed to working from home because they wanted people mingling as little as possible, social distancing, so as not to transmit or indeed to catch coronavirus. Now, the pandemic is long over, and actually people are still catching coronavirus, very, very occasionally dying of it. We just don't talk about it because it's a very minor thing. We got bored of it. But work from home, it only began in a significant scale in the noughties. As technology has marched onward, we've all got mobile phones, doing meetings on Zoom or Google Meets and so forth is much, much easier to work at a distance, distance learning for students and so on. I'm rather in favor of working from home. Not in every case, but just think of the advantages. The commute can be the worst time in your day. I've sometimes arrived at work in a foul humor. The train has been late again, or been stuffed in like sardines. It's too hot in a wind to have a big chunky jacket on. And because it's so packed in there, I can't even take it off. There are delays. Fortunately, I'm quite tall, so I'm up in the fresh air. Some people down at armpit level, and so forth. So traffic jams, it's terrible. And obviously paying through the nose to be treated like cattle. So a lot of this is avoidable if you work from home. You can get up later. I found had time to go to the supermarket, go for a stroll, a cycle, something like that, wash some clothes, have a shower, whatever, easily before I started work, could have more sleep. Save money on the journey is easier than everybody else because there are fewer passengers on the train or the bus, there are fewer cars on the road. It's better for the environment, therefore reduces carbon emissions. It's just a win. We need fewer offices, fewer physical workplaces, which allows more space for housing. So surely work from home is the answer. Now, it is good to have some in-person contact. I do like meeting people face-to-face. It almost sent me around the twist, not be meeting people in person in coronavirus lockdown. And depends where you live. You've got a spacious house, that'll be fine. Some people working in their 20s don't earn very much money. They just live in a bedsit. And so it doesn't work quite so well for them to work from home. But I think there's a lot to be said from working from home. Maybe not in every case. It's good to have a few in-person meetings. But the government saying you have to come in person for at least 3 days a week. The civil service is not unreasonable. I might go say, okay, further, they have to come in 2 days or 1 day. In some weeks, they cannot come in at all. But I've been to my insistent quite a lot. So I'm going working from abroad. And unless it's secret information, I don't see why they shouldn't do it. They affect me on holiday abroad, just spending some time abroad and logging in for their lessons. I had a colleague, she was on holiday in Portugal, and she still did some work online. Once I went on holiday to Turkey, I did 6 hours work. I had to view it as a working day, but still had time to go to the beach. In a working day, one is able to pursue some leisure activities. So I think working from home is to be commended. Now, it doesn't work in every instance. There's a Labour peer unnamed by a newspaper saying that these same civil servants are threatening to strike if they don't get to work from home more. They would have said their bins emptied or their children to be taught, they want medical treatment. His argument being that you expect other people to work in person, therefore you may work in person. Now, this is a specious argument in as much as some jobs can be done effectively online, others cannot, because some jobs must be physically present, like medicine. Now, admittedly, there is telemedicine, so sometimes it could be done at a distance. Teaching classes is usually in person. People sometimes teach whole classes online. Never tried it myself. For individuals, that's fine. And so forth. Collecting rubbish, well, until we get robots to do it, people are going to do it in person. But if bureaucracy can be done online, I don't see why it shouldn't be done online. It is pleasant to have a human connection, meet people in person occasionally. But if we get a fewer civil service buildings, that will save a lot of money. The civil service is going to be more productive. I mean, the government might say, yes, we're going to be this much more productive. I would slim down bureaucracy generally, have less bureaucracy, fewer bureaucrats, less form filling. The government does not need to collate this information, amass all the paperwork. I was reading about jargon monoxide, as it's jocosely known, and these pointless meetings. I've sat through enough of them myself, going around and around in circles. I'm thinking if you put a lot of time in, that's productive. It's not. It's the outcome, not the input, that matters. So wasting time with pointless meetings, it drives me round the twist. I feel like Cassandra for like 30 years been going on about this, but my housemaster saying there are far too many people piece of paper in the world. He was damn right, and it's got so much worse. Too many laws, too many lawyers, and obviously they're not a physical piece of paper. Form filling, why do you need to know? Ask this question. The futility of it, it drives me up the wall. And it's just getting worse. And then all these jobs worth middle management, they need to justify their job titles, their fat salaries. So they then have to dump on everybody else and create pointless work, pointless form filling to look like they're important and they're necessary. They say you never miss a bureaucrat. It's not quite true. Okay, we need a little bit of organization. Some information needs to be collected. Some policies need to be crafted. But it has become a nightmare. It's like metamorphosed. It's a Frankenstein. You know, the germ of it was a good idea, but how did it take over? Well, there's a book about this by, is it Francis Wheen, How Mumbo Jumbo Conquered the World? Management speak, management consultants, quangos. A Conservative Party in the 90s was terrible at this. Blair talked about ending the quango state, made it even worse. And the Conservative Party, the supposed party for small government, after 14 years in office, did not resolve it, indeed exacerbated it. Headmistress Sophie Chow, they made it even worse. And now we have a Labour administration in office and they are creating even more quangos. When will it end? Like, why do we need this? We're just so over-governed. And I often think in terms of governance, a revolution is needed. And I really do mean nothing short of a revolution, to just slim things down, to be more libertarian, to have the night watchman state, the state to do things which are absolutely necessary. And if not, don't do them, okay? Just leave it up to the people. A bit of creative chaos. I'm a conservative anarchist like that. But here for once, I'm on the side of the civil service. We have way too many of them. I have to make them more productive, up or out. Because as someone said to me, they're virtually unsackable. They see something really outrageous. Ken Badenoch saying a tenth of civil servants are so bad they should be in prison. They're that bad. And I remember a chairman of Conservative Association saying he rather liked Priti Patel, the way she was detested by the civil service, because some Conservatives are actually anti the civil service, say is a myth that they're neutral, they're not, they're left wingers. Admittedly, Labour will come in and say it's the same. I've been reading articles of the Telegraph how Keir Starmer's defeated by the blog, the civil service has its own agenda. Of course, it's an interest, it's a segment of society to be there, to be as big as possible, to have jobs for life, to have high salaries, high budgets, to be important, indispensable. Independent, not in the sense of apolitical, but the government have no control over it. Tony Blair voices frustration saying you pull the lever and nothing happens. So they can go slow, they can frustrate, they can invent problems where there are none, they can pull every trick in the book. You may have seen Yes Minister about Sir Humphrey Appleby. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then any PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.